now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Lots of stuff to talk about today. First of all, I'll talk about the concept of Chicken Little. Chicken Little. Those of you that are familiar with the story, Chicken Little went around telling everybody, oh, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Nobody believed him. A variation of Chicken Little is the boy who cried wolf, right? And you know what happened after that. Interesting in the whole Chicken Little saga that Chicken Little talks about the sky is falling. Now, this would have been something understandable to the ancients who had gone through these celestially driven cataclysms, who'd had the misfortune of watching a very large comet pass through the solar system and somehow survived the ensuing cataclysms. And also, the descendants of the survivors of the celestially driven cataclysms would have been told what had happened. Of course, in our modern era, all that's gone into the memory hole. It's all just disappeared, wiped off the slate. But the knowledge and the fear of celestially driven cataclysms are etched indelibly into our genetic memory and our collective soul. Imagine just how traumatizing it must have been to watch one's world just come undone, completely unravel, be destroyed before your very eyes. And again, we have throughout history and all these different traditions, all these different cultures, when the celestially driven cataclysms were about to cycle back, they were warned by their mystics, their seers, medicine men, medicine women, and or the gods to seek shelter, either head for the hills in the event of tsunami waves, floods, cataclysmic flooding, or head underground. Because when people head for the hills, what do you find in the hills? Often as not, you find tunnel entrances, cavern entrances, so on and so forth. So there's something to the whole Chicken Little concept. What they have done, however, is use the Chicken Little concept as a means of, and I don't believe in inoculations, I don't believe in immunizations, they use the Chicken Little concept in a way almost as if they're trying to inoculate the public against the reality of the celestially driven cataclysms. Due to the fact that these celestially driven cataclysms are encoded in our very DNA, in our ancestral memory, in our collective soul memory, if you will, there is a lot of fear when it comes to the subject of celestially driven cataclysms. There are people who call themselves truthers who don't want to believe in celestially driven cataclysms, right? Even though it's right there in the fossil record in the form of mass extinctions, periodic cyclical mass extinctions, as well as a parallel record of geological upheavals. So there's a lot of fear surrounding the subject. So at some level, I understand why some people who consider themselves to be truthers, quote-unquote, dismiss the subject out of hand. Just like many of them dismiss the subject of alien abductions, aliens, reptilians, etc. out of hand because it's scary. It's scary. I'm so scared. I'm not picking on people who lisp. It's scary. So I understand that. But still, I mean, back in the day, if someone said to you, well, the Mongols are coming. I think we should pick up and leave. The Huns are coming. I think we should pick up and leave. I guarantee you nobody said to the people giving these warnings, you're being fear-based. Why don't you just go over there and sit beneath that tree and get into the lotus position and just, you know, just bliss out, right? I don't think it happened that way. I think more likely what happened is, really, the Huns are coming this way? Yeah, we're out of here, pal. You're going to see, you know, the back of my shirt very soon and the rear end of my horse, right? That's what happened. Nobody pointed at somebody and said, oh, you know, where's your proof? You're a fear monger. You're being too negative. Why don't you just chill out? Right? None of that happened because they recognized that the Huns, and it wasn't just the Huns. The Huns drove a lot of these tribes before them, right? The Goths, the Vandals. I mean, these were hardcore ass-kicking tribes. And they said, oh, you mean the Huns are coming? We're out of here. So they started heading westward into Roman territory, right? So that's where some of the large-scale barbaric so-called incursions into Roman territory in the 4th century AD came about as a direct result of the Hunnic invasions, right? And the point of relevance is, back then no one said, you didn't have Goths sitting around a campfire and, you know, chieftain says, oh, we got to leave here because the Huns are coming. Nobody said, oh, you're being fear-based. Go sit underneath that tree and adopt the lotus position and, you know, go, None of that happened, right? Because they had an institutional memory. Whether a society from the olden days had a form of written record keeping or not, they still had oral traditions where they passed down information. You know, think of the Norsemen, you know, with their sagas and whatnot. Whether or not the sagas were 100% historically accurate or whether some of that was in the realm of what they now called myths. But as I've said before in these commentaries, the term mythos is from the Greek, which means narrative. So they've even taken the term myth and turned it on its head to make something that the official gatekeepers don't want people to know is truth. They write it off as, oh, that's a myth. It's fanciful. It's a myth that never happened, when actually the original meaning of myth, mythos, is narrative, i.e. the truth, historical truth. Now you have gatekeepers like Snopes.com that, you know, they chime into your Facebook news feed. Oh, you know, such and such, that was just a hoax. It was fake. And here's an article from Snopes.com proving it was a fake. The moment someone does that on my Facebook news feed, this is the sound you hear. Whoosh! That's the sound of a troll being flushed, thank you very much, from my Facebook news feed. And the stench that goes with it. Flushed. Last week we had Chicken Little all over the lamestream news. Oh, this somebody is saying that on September 23rd, Nibiru, Planet X, take your pick, is going to come in and wipe out the entire planet, right? Now stop and think about this, folks. Why would they give someone like this guy airtime? Why? Okay? Now, you have to understand, in the field of disinformation, there are, for lack of a better term, like designated jokes, okay? Like where I live, every time there's a UFO sighting and some local citizen gets good video cam coverage, because, folks, we're in the era, the age of the digicam, the mobile phone cam, etc., etc., people are going to get all kinds of videos of UFOs, of aliens, of Sasquatch, okay? That's what's happening, especially nowadays, you know, with all this stuff, everything in a flux state, all kinds of weird stuff going on. Someone out there is going to come down with a video of these flying humanoids all over Chicago at some point. Sooner or later, someone's going to get really good video. Anyway, the Chicken Little guys, they exist for a reason. They're designated jokes, okay? And what I mean by that is there's a guy here where I lived. And what they do is this guy's got a symbiotic relationship with the corporate media. I call him Old Lizard Eyes. Old Lizard Eyes. Because every once in a while, he'll be on TV talking about a recent UFO sighting and his eyes go vertical. Okay, they go vertical, right? Think about George the Elder Bush and Bill Clinton, the split screen in the aftermath of the Indonesian tsunami, right? And they're on there once again trying to sucker the public into giving disaster relief donations. Quickly disappear into the coffers of all these perps and sewer scum, right? And I was watching TV, and then I said to myself, yowza, look at George the Elder's eyes. It's like they're very vertical. So I got up off my sofa. I knelt down in front of my TV, and I had my face mere inches from the television screen. And sure enough, George the Elder, he must have been tired. He must have been on meds. Who knows? But his eyes were full-on vertical reptilian, F you very much, right? So, you know, lizard eyes. And people to this day say, oh, that's Photoshop, yada, yada, yada. No. That I was there. I was watching that split screen. You had Bill Clinton on one side of the screen. You had George the Elder on the other. And George the Elder had vertical pupils, right? Lizard eyes. And so we have this designated joke here who calls himself a UFO researcher. Oh, science-based and all this stuff. And every time some citizen, because we live in the age of the digicam, we live in the age of the camcorder and the mobile phone camera, every time someone around here gets good video of a UFO, they roll out lizard eyes. And he comes out and he says, oh, it's very interesting footage, and the witness is very credible. She holds a very, you know, credible, responsible position, yada, yada, yada. And then the punchline at the end is always, but you know what? There's no way we can prove that it's actually an alien craft. So it really is an unknown at this point. That's all we could say at this time, right? Old lizard eyes. And on one occasion, I was watching those morning TV news geek shows, as I call them, because all they do is, and they have one guy who kind of looks like a geek usually, and it's almost like they fit into these caricatures, these profiles, you know, right out of central casting, and you can go from one end of America or to the other, and all these Western countries increasingly, where they have these morning geek news shows. It's half entertainment, half news. And they had old lizard eyes on there to talk about UFOs, and the morning TV geek people, they just laughed at him, ha, 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 mocked and ridiculed him. And you know what? Old lizard eyes, he took it in his stride. He smiled, he giggled. You know why? Because that's part of the job. It's in the job title. Okay, designated joke boy, lizard eyes. Every once in a while, besides going on the telly and, you know, saying, oh, it's an interesting sighting, you know, highly credible witness, ultimately we don't know what to make of it, you know, blah, 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 quack, 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 end of story, move on to the Kardashians, right? Every once in a while, besides that, he comes on specifically to be the butt of jokes, right? He's a designated joke, old lizard eyes, around here. And so this guy, Chicken Little, pops up last week, and all the all the lamestream media gives this guy coverage, right? They give this guy coverage. They don't talk about Ben Rich, you know, and deathbed confessions, talking about the military flying around, you know, to other star systems. And they don't talk about, you know, Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister in Canada, talking about aliens here walking the earth. No, they don't talk about that. What they do is they roll Chicken Little out. I don't even know this guy's name. He's not even worthy of mentioning by name. He's a designated joke, right? Like old lizard eyes. And he comes on there and he talks about how September 23rd, predictive programming, we've been hammered with that date going back to, you know, Back to the Future and all these other movies, these scary end-of-the-world movies, right? And they give, you know, sometimes semi-serious coverage, sometimes, you know, almost like a whimsical, mocking, derisive form of coverage to Chicken Little's, oh, we're all going to die on because Nibiru's going to come and crash into our planet, yada, 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 right? If you're familiar with Professor James McCanney's research, he talks about action at a distance, where when these very large planet-sized comets come through the solar system and or, in my view, the red dwarf, Brown Dwarf, Second Son, call it what you will. And folks, there's a lot of good video out there. There's a lot of good video of the Second Son, okay? And now it's so close, you can see the planets that are around it, okay? Sometimes. And we're at a point in time when the sun is going absolutely crazy. Crazy. CMEs left, right, and center, solar flares, magnetosphere is just starting to come apart at the seams, right? All the seismic activity, this volcano in Bali, Indonesia, is about to blow its top. That's Ring of Fire action, folks. All the stuff going on, Yellowstone, San Andreas Fault, etc., etc. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? So in order to inoculate the public to the reality of the fact that, and you don't have to believe me, do your own research, or don't do your own research. It's entirely up to you. Still a free will zone, last I checked, right? I'm satisfied it's there. I've seen it at 35,000 feet. I've seen it at ground level, and I've seen, in my view, outstanding video from people on the ground and also from surf cams, and also from the SOHO Solar Heliospheric Observatory, etc., etc., etc. I'm satisfied it's there. You don't have to believe me. I'm not scared of it because in some of my other sojourns on this planet, I've kind of gone through some of these celestially driven cataclysms, so it's not my first barbecue. So they run Chicken Little out there, and, you know, sometimes they kind of seem like they're interested, and, you know, I'm talking about the TV news presenters. And sometimes it's met with, like, this derisive, mocking kind of tone. But the bottom line is all the corporate media put out Chicken Little to talk about the end of the world on September 23rd because Nibiru is going to crash into our planet. And what Professor James McCanney pointed out is, these very large bodies that come into our solar system, they don't have to impact the Earth, okay? He points out, and I think it's a very good point, that we're brainwashed into thinking this way because of movies like Deep Impact, Armageddon, right? Harry Stamper, where are you when we need you, right? That in order for these asteroids and whatnot to cause us any real damage, they have to impact us. And what Professor McCanney points out is, no, they don't have to impact us because they're coming in from outer space. Our solar system is a huge electrical field. It's a huge capacitor. Think of it as a huge capacitor. The sun is constantly blowing out protons. Many of these large astronomical bodies that come in from outer space, from beyond the solar system, very large comets and, you know, the brown dwarf, the red dwarf, call it what you will, they come in and it creates a massive electromagnetic plasma electric response, reaction, not only with the sun, but the other large planets in the solar system, some of the so-called gaseous giants. It causes huge arcing, huge bolts are generated. And so, and also consider the gravitational tidal effects of very large objects coming into the solar system, right? So the very large objects don't have to hit us. That's part of the disinfo. Have, you know, very large objects, asteroids, hit the planet before? Of course they have. I have no reason to doubt that. There's a layer of iridium all over the world that goes back to the time of the dinosaur extinction, or when most of the dinosaurs were wiped out anyway. Not just by the impact, but also by the radical change in climate after the asteroid impact, which nowadays people are saying happened somewhere near the Yucatan Peninsula in the latter stages of what we know as the Cretaceous period. The age of the dinosaurs. So these very large objects don't have to hit us. They just have to create this huge plasma electric response from the sun and from these other large planets, right? Jupiter, etc., etc. And this is what the ancients talk about. This is what David Talbot talks about in, you know, his documentaries and books. The whole sky would be crisscrossed with, you know, lightning bolts and huge arcs and what have you. So they run this guy out, and he says, we're going to be hammered by Nibiru on September 23rd. Surprise, surprise, it doesn't happen. Inoculated everybody. And so now when someone rocks up and says, well, look at this video, look at that video. Yeah, we were just watching Chicken Little on TV last week, pal. And it didn't happen. We're still here. This is all a joke. Okay? You see how that works? And so Chicken Little, he's playing the role of designated joke. He's there to be the butt of jokes, whether he realizes it or not, whether he's consciously party to this or not. Maybe he's just some guy who came up with this theory and tied it in with September 23rd. And then the media, Spin Master, said, yeah, let's focus on this guy, give him all this coverage, and then when nothing happens on September 23rd, we can just sit back and just let, you know, events unfold the way they're meant to unfold. But the point of relevance, folks, is just because they roll Chicken Little out, the designated joke, to be a laughingstock, to be the butt of jokes endlessly from here on out, it doesn't mean that there's not a very large mini solar system that's come into our solar system. And again, there's a lot of resistance to this in the so-called truth community. Now, it's been suggested to me, yeah, Bartley, what if they blue-beamed you when you were on that plane at 30, 35,000 feet just to make you think that you saw the red dwarf like poking up from the top of the chemtrail haze? Okay, you know? Fair point. What if that was just a blue beam event? When I'm back towards the rear of the plane, waiting for my turn at the lavatory, and I'm hunched over, I'm looking out one of the windows, and I see the red dwarf over here on the right popping up out of the from above the permachemtrail haze over to the left, the sunrise, the real sun. And then I make my way back to my seat, and because I don't want to go to the trouble of, you know, going for my cell phone in the overhead baggage compartment and then, you know, fumbling with it and then missing my opportunity anyway because, you know, the plane would have flown on. I would have missed the angle. You know, I bugged these Japanese girls next to me to take the photo. They did. They never sent it to me. I gave my email address. So, you know, playing devil's advocate here, what if that was an attempt to blue beam me, so-called. And you know my feelings about blue beam, how overplayed that whole hand is, right? I have to respond. Okay, if all that was an attempt to make me believe in the red dwarf by fooling me with some kind of hologram or, you know, waking hallucination or whatever, I have to ask, am I really that important? Are they going to go out of their way? Okay, Bartley's going to be, you know, 35,000 feet over Azerbaijan in Central Asia right about this point in time on this airline. Let's fool him, right? Am I really that important that they're going to go to all that trouble just to fool little old me? And yes, I've talked about this experience, but ultimately, folks, it's still a limited hangout, okay? In intelligence, counterintelligence terms, it's still a limited hangout, okay? Yeah, they were not happy with Bob Lazar when he came out with what he said back in the day. And they did everything they can to, you know, intimidate him and shut him up and everything else. But it was still a limited hangout. You know, what the media calls us UFO believers, we're the only ones that were interested in his revelations. And how many people from within the UFO community just, like, went into a mouth-foaming rage at Bob Lazar and didn't want to hear any of it and thought he was disinfo, a plant, a shill, a fake hoax. And they even rolled out longtime gatekeepers like Jacques Vallée to, you know, pour cold water on the whole subject. Jacques Vallée said that, you know, Roswell was a hoax too. F you very much, Jacques Vallée. I know things about you that my mentor told me about you, Barbara Bartholuk, because she worked with you. Right? Not many people know that Barbara Bartholuk worked with Jacques Vallée for a while. So these are unpleasant truths within the so-called truther community. Am I really so important they're going to go to the trouble of blue-beaming me into thinking I'm seeing a red dwarf 35,000 feet over Central Asia? Knowing that I'm going to turn around and tell somebody about it, I've mentioned this in some of my lectures, I've mentioned this in podcasts and in interviews. Doesn't matter. It's an overall scheme of things, folks. It's still a limited hangout. They're not giving me the coverage they gave Chicken Little, perish the thought, right? Not that I would go onto their lamestream TV news geek morning shows anyway. So they're inoculating the public to the reality of the brown dwarf, red dwarf, call it what you will. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing this? And you have to look at this from a holistic point of view. We're having all this seismic activity all over the world. There are dozens. Last I checked, something like 60 volcanoes around the world are either erupting or in the process of erupting. And now all the news is riveted in the volcano front, that is, on this volcano in Bali, right? And honestly, folks, I don't know why people go to Bali anyway, right? Indonesian military committing genocide in East Timor and, wiping out a lot of the Papuans in New Guinea. The Papuans were kind of indentured servitude types, basically slave labor for the Australian and American military in New Guinea in World War II. And without these so-called fuzzy wuzzies, because they're black and they got big afros, that's what they called them back then, fuzzy wuzzies. Without them, who knows what would have happened, because they were, stretcher bears. It took eight people, eight big, strapping, strong New Guinea natives to haul one wounded person over the Kokoda track in New Guinea. And there were porters, they carried ammunition, they did all this, and they didn't get paid jack for it, okay? They didn't get paid jack for it. So the so-called allies owe the people of Papua New Guinea, they owe them their thanks. They owe them something for helping them against the Japanese in World War II. Oh, but what happens? They all turn a blind eye as the Indonesian military wipes out all these people in Papua New Guinea. As the Indonesian military go around and their paramilitary militia forces go around wiping out all these people in East Timor. And yet, countless Australians, people I know, go to Bali anyway. They go to Bali, I guess, because it's cheap there and it's, fun in the sun, and right? No, I would never go to Bali. But the point of relevance is there's this volcano there that, may blow its top at any moment, and all these governments are frantically trying to get their nationals out of there before this volcano blows its top. And remember, Indonesia, Bali, that's right there, the Ring of Fire, very active. I think of my friend, one of my friends, I'm not going to say her name, she was told what they call a gypsy warning in the intelligence world, where out of the blue, she's a MyLab, out of the blue, this person calls up, American accent, Southern American accent, claims to be a general in the United States Marine Corps, and starts telling this MyLab friend of mine, well, when this thing moves in, i.e. this red dwarf, when this thing moves in, it's going to cause, volcanic activity through the roof, and he said, quote, the magma will be obscene, right? So where there's smoke, there's fire. I think that they ran Chicken Little out to be the designated joke to inoculate the public to the reality of this very real incursion into our solar system of this mini solar system, this red dwarf. No, I don't think I'm important enough for them to blue beam so-called into believing I saw what I saw. Because I also saw it at ground level, too, right? Are they going to go to the trouble of blue beaming me on the ground, too? Not only that, though, but are they going to go to the trouble of when I was on the ground looking up at the second sun at the 2 o'clock position relative to the sun? Are they going to go to the trouble of chemtrailing that second sun? So I only saw it for a brief moment before it was obscured by chem clouds. Oh, there's Bartley. He's looking. Let's send one of our, let's reroute one of our chemtrail planes to lay a chem plume right across the face of the second sun so Bartley doesn't see it anymore. I mean, really, folks, am I that important they would go to all that trouble? No. Because ultimately, what myself and countless other people who've talked about Planet X, talked about the red dwarf, I call it the red dwarf because it looks red. You know, the astrophysicists call it a brown dwarf. But you know what? I don't take the lamestream science community seriously anyway. I'm calling it a red dwarf. So, they're not going to go to all that trouble just to fool little old me. With the expectation I'm going to turn around and fool all of you. Because I'm not fooling anyone. It's a free will zone. You can believe whatever you want. But I'm tying this into the Chicken Little, folks. And if it seems like I'm belaboring the point, we have to look at this from a counterintelligence psyop point of view. Right? The art or the craft of intelligence is divining or determining the intentions and capabilities of a foe or a potential foe, an enemy or a potential enemy. And counterintelligence is an effort at making people, through the use of artful use of deception, disinformation, false clues, false trails, to make them think the opposite of what you want them to believe, or at least, if not entirely the opposite, fool them enough, whoever the target population is, an enemy or the people, you know, the good citizens of the world, fool them into believing something is a threat or is not a threat, right? Now, all this is running in parallel. Chicken Little, the Red Dwarf, the seismic activity, volcanic activity. It's all running in parallel with these wars and these rumors of wars. You have Trump, more saber-rattling vis-a-vis North Korea. You have this high-ranking general, a Russian general in Syria. The Syrian army has recaptured Deir el-Zor. Depends on how you pronounce it. But basically, it was recaptured from the Islamic State, ISIS. And the Syrian army, with the backing of Russian military advisors, have recaptured it. Thank you very much. Now, what's happened is, and this just happened the other day, apparently a mortar barrage came in and hit this command post where this Russian Lieutenant General Valery Asipov happened to be at a command post where he was assisting the Syrian commanders in the operation to liberate the city of Deir el-Zor, and he was killed, okay? He was killed by the ISIS, supposedly, and ISIS, remember, is a proxy of the U.S. As a matter of fact, around the same time frame, U.S. Special Operations troops were seen in ISIS territory outside of Deir el-Zor. So, I mean, are these people so dumb, these U.S. Special Operations Forces working with ISIS, that they don't really know what they're doing? Or are they just so bloodthirsty and so war-loving that they don't care that they're helping ISIS, that go around and, you know, capture women and sell them in open slave markets? It's like, you know, are they that dumb, or are they just willy-nilly follow whatever orders they get, or are they... Is the U.S. Special Forces there really made up of a bunch of private mercenaries or advisors from this, that, or the other country? Who knows, right? But we do know that the ISIS has received airdrops from U.S. Air Force planes, et cetera, et cetera. And we've known for some time that U.S. Special Operations Forces have worked with ISIS. So you have this highest-ranking Russian general get killed in a mortar barrage fired by the ISIS, Islamic State, which is a proxy itself of the New World Order. And right around the same time, you have U.S. Special Operations Forces there in the same vicinity where ISIS is, right? The whole thing stinks to high heaven. but wars and rumors of wars. Everyone's looking over at North Korea. Yeah, that could be, you know, potentially very bad for the entire planet if they decide to launch a strike against North Korea, which will inevitably bring the Russians and the Chinese into the fray. But don't forget what's happening in the Middle East and the Near East. I mean, if a high-ranking American commander who, let's say, was assisting or at the command post of an ISIS group, and then they were shelled by Syrian army types assisted by the Russians, well, you know, the corporate media will just go nuts. Oh, the Russians have killed one of our commanders over there that are fighting ISIS when they're really helping ISIS. That's how bass-ackwards everything is. Imagine the outcry, the hue and the cry. All of this, you know, breathless hype about, you know, the Russians stealing the elections and manipulating the elections. What a joke that is, considering how often the election process in America is rigged and how often the CIA and paramilitary, you know, Pentagon black ops manipulate foreign elections, right? Extreme hypocrisy, extreme hypocrisy. So let's not forget what's happening in the Middle East. That's good news. It's good news that the Syrian army is kicking the hell out of the ISIS Islamic group, Islamic State people that are being helped by U.S. special forces, that are being helped by Western mercenaries. That's great news. Not so good news that a Russian lieutenant general was killed in a mortar barrage, fired by said ISIS. Meanwhile, other things are going on too, like more and more of these large marine creatures, unknown marine creatures, are washing up all over the place. They washed up in the wake of you know, these recent hurricanes. I think one washed up in the Philippines the other day. Some big ass, like, dead marine animal. Now, what the bought and paid for zoologists are going to say is, oh, that's just a whale. It's decomposed, yada, 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 right? Doesn't look like any kind of whale, right? But that's what they're going to do. Inevitably, they're going to say it's like a whale or it's a hoax or whatever, and Snopes is going to come out with an article about it, I'm sure. But something is happening in the depths of the ocean that's causing, you know, all these, you know, big... I'm guessing that a lot of these sea creatures spend most of their time in the deep depths of the ocean. But something is going on down there that's causing these large, previously unknown sea animals to wash up dead on the shores. Now, there were, you know, the Montauk creatures washing up on shore and near Montauk, Long Island, and whether those were real animals or they were created in some weird science genetics lab, who knows, right? I mean, one could never be sure about anything that happens over there near Montauk, Long Island. But I think it's symptomatic, all these animals washing up, previously unknown animals washing up on shore. Maybe there's something also going on in the ocean depths that's causing these. I mean, we know that the U.S. Navy and probably other navies around the world blast out high decibel sound waves underwater that just wipe out marine life, you know, whales and dolphins and whatnot, and causes them to commit mass suicide, basically just beach themselves, say, no, we're out of here, right, these whales, and we're going to incarnate back in the Syrian system. It's like, you know, we've done our enlistment here, right, we're out of here. So they're just, you know, I feel sorry for these animals. They're wonderful sentient creatures that probably are more spiritually evolved than we are, and so many of them now are just beaching themselves. And part of that has to do with the U.S. Navy blasting out these super high decibel, you know, sound waves under the ocean for some bizarre unknown reason, right? Is that in part the reason why these large creatures are washing up on shore? I don't know. Okay, that's something that I guess as time unfolds, we'll know more about, hopefully. Well, we've reached the end of the first half of this commentary on current events. I'm going to talk a bit about, in the second half, I'm going to talk about astral interdimensional aspects of what it's like at times to be an alien abductee or to go through certain experiences that have a astral slash hyperdimensional component to it, where sometimes you don't know what kind of realm you're in or where you are at any given time, because things like that have happened to me, and I'm sure for some of you that's happened to you folks too. So if you believe in what we do, if you like what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment. Bye for now.